The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So me might tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can. Trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. Boy, they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season, season. Godless, I got weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City. Got my mass every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. My name is Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, MP, Governor. I have so many different names that I've accumulated over the years. So much people respect me for the work that I do inside the inner city community. I work hard in the community. I've never stopped working in the community. I've continued my best to improve the condition of the community that I reside in. Telephone numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And I also use the airways to inspire others, go in their respective community and give a helping hand. You know, because I want to encourage people out there that it takes the citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to make change in the country. Okay? Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about how am I going to call it, what I'm going to say tonight. I don't even know what this topic is going to be. But anyway, this topic tonight, we're going to talk about what has happened in the last 3 weeks in the Bahamas. But I would just like to say this. You know, I've been on Guardian Radio close to 10 years now. And ever since I came on the radio, I was talking about how some of the firearms and drugs get in the country. And over the course of my journey speaking on radio, there were probably many people disagreeing with me. Plenty of people, you know, were saying that, you know, I fiberglassing and whatever the stuff is. But I continued my journey of expressing the problem that we face in the country. Because it's really hard to explain coming on radio, talking these type of subjects because, you know, you can be victimized. Many people see me, they ask me as I'm walking, are you afraid to be saying the things that you say on radio? You know, it's dangerous and et cetera. Well, they say, you know, some of us are built different and I'm built different. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, if you want a better come by and be afraid. I'm one of the few persons that comes on a public platform and talk about exactly what is happening in the prison, what is happening in the streets, what is happening in our government, in our churches, in our community. And if we don't have this discussion, how are we going to be able to solve them? Because many people to the top, but also blame the people to the bottom. And as we can see right now in our country, this country is turning over backwards right now based on the allegation being made against senior corps and senior officials. And, you know, it's crazy. But I've been saying it from like him on the show. I've been saying the invisible stuff. I heard the Prime Minister talk last week, and he said those in the shadows who use their position of power to do crime. And not only crime, it is alleged that these individuals are the ones who are supposed to be protecting and serving the Bahamian people, and they come on the radio every week talking about drugs and guns, and then they persecute the younger guys on the streets who don't even go to Jamaica, who don't even go to America. And we're wondering how all these bulks of firearms and drugs coming in the country. Now we are finding out, I mean, I'm not finding out. I can say personally, I don't know all of these incidents over the years, but I can tell you this, I knew already. So when I was coming on this radio and saying these things to the general public, they were going with their affairs. But for those who were listening and living in the city and living in the country and who know exactly what's going on, would agree with me. Now, I bet you everyone got to agree with me. Every topic that I've had on the show for the last few years has been the truth, has been the problem. And now that everything is being exposed now, I just thank the Father that these things are happening now, because that's the only way we're going to be able to turn around the country. I'm not happy at all with what's happening in our country, especially when it comes to our policing, because I have a lot of decent police officers on the force. And a lot of them were denied promotions because they were not involved in political parties. And that is the biggest reason why we're in this dilemma we're in today. Because if you are not going to be promoted by your works on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, then why get promoted over people who deserving of that promotion? But you have to be a part of the PLP and the FNM to get the top core position on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I'm talking to the Commissioner of Police. I'm talking to the Deputy Commissioner of Police. Remember, many years ago, I said that on this show that the Prime Minister picks the Commissioner of Police. I was on C. Nuri, my friend's show, and, you know, we were back and forth. Now you're saying that Clayton Fernando stepping down as the Commissioner of Police. We have a new incoming Commissioner of Police, Ms. Shantae Knowles, and everything that is coming to light. So, Guardian, it was a plus that you guys having me on this show and giving me this platform, because now I've been telling the truth. Not that I want to say that I'm right, no. I just wanted for it to get out there so that we can make change to the problems we're facing in this country today. Someone is calling already, so let me see what they have to say, and then I'd get back to my topic. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, my brother, long time, man.
Good night, good night.
Listen, brother, you was always validated, man.
Bless my brother.
Understand the comments and things you make on a weekly basis. It's not going on their affairs.
Wow.
We all, like I say, all you all the time, we all live on this road, and we know exactly what's going on this road.
Yes,
understand?
Sir.
And some people may not understand it. It's coming like it's new to them. That's because they living in a glass house, man.
Yes, sir.
You feel me? They ain't experiencing the same things we experiencing. But they can't understand what we talking about. We talk about this corruption and thing and all that type of stuff. No?
Yes, sir.
But like you say, this is a dark day when it comes to our armed forces, because you got to look at all of them now, man.
Yes.
Just like how you say, it's politically appointed people for the PLP.
Yeah,
for now. For the chief of police. The same thing in customs, same in immigration.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Right?
That's where the corruption
same thing
comes
in. All these things.
That's
man.
Where the corruption comes in right there.
Yeah. You understand? So they need to nip that in the butt and select person. Like someone said earlier, we need to elect these people ourselves for the chief.
Yes.
Chief position.
I think we should. Yes, we should.
You understand? Qualified persons who are very, you know what they's doing in the U.S., right?
Yes.
It's put the people in front of the
citizens
or whatever.
Yes.
Before they get these jobs, right? And then they inquire all, everything has come out.
Yes.
You understand? So public is know anything about you. If you had anything where a trial or anything was sealed or something like that, the public still know. We know the what's in the sealed document.
Yes.
But we know you do rape or do this or, you understand?
Yes, sir.
Do something of that sort. So I think that's the best way we could be guided if the powers that be, because all that's happening now is no legislation is being put in place to protect the behaving people.
Right. You're right.
You understand? They don't want to do this legislation because they know what the nefarious deeds, what they are doing.
Yes, yes, you're
right. You understand?
You're right.
The Freedom of Information Act, all these things have to be put in place.
Mm-hmm.
The USA say nothing to Fred. USA say nothing to Brave. USA say nothing to Monroe. You understand what I said?
Yes.
Y'all is the senior men, them who is getting all the information and are supposed to be getting all the intel from mm-hmm. these foreign entities. And y'all don't know nothing what's going on right under your nose. How embarrassing is that?
Very embarrassing.
All right, brother. I'll sit back and listen to you again. Thanks, bro.
Thank you very much. You know, Nicola is making a lot of sense. And like I say, you know, I've always said that the political rhetoric, when they get elected, they handpick their commissioner of police. But listen to this. You have so many outstanding Royal Bahamas Police Force who are qualified for the position, but they get knocked aside. And when they get knocked aside, they feel unwanted. Now they have to go and listen to a commissioner who has his team. And this is where the corruption comes in. If you was listening to the voice note sent from the staff at ZNS, the staff was saying, the lady, she spoke very well. She said that, you know, since this individual come by talking from a political party, he messed things right up. He said they were happy at ZNS. And all of a sudden, this guy, he or she, I don't know, who they're referring to, I can't remember the name, but she was referring to whoever is in charge of ZNS, said that, you know, they said get with the winning team. So the winning team is the Progressive Liberal Party. The same thing goes on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, Immigration and Customs. They are handpicked because all of these individuals are part of the political party. So when they get in, there are favors to be done. We got to put people in strategic position to make sure that we have everything covered as a government standpoint. And that has to stop in our country. Because we are eroding and demoralizing the force. One time ago, we used to respect inspectors. Man, how much? I want to know how much inspectors there is in the Bahamas right now. This the most inspectors I ever see in the history of the country. And the surprising thing about it is that, you know, when you get pulled over, you'd have like 7 inspectors in the bus. And one time ago, there'd just be 1 inspector in the bus or 1 corporal, and the inspector used to be in charge of the bus or be in charge of the station, right? And you can't even talk to that inspector. He'd tell you, I have a boss. He'd point to the next chief inspector. And when you go to him and try to ask him, let me say, I can't help you. You have to go to my next boss. And there's someone else in the bus. So what sense you having 6, 7 inspectors in the bus, Ben? Man, it's just, and these promotions are supposed to be earned. These positions were given out for merit. A lot of these inspectors and ASP, a lot of them don't deserve the position they get. Some of them jump from sergeant or ASP in a space of 10 years. You know, if you're in a criminal investigation officer, or a road traffic officer who works daily on the road, you know, or someone who sits in the office all day and they work and they make sure that all the information and all the files are stored, and gradually they're recommended based on their merit. It is not merit that they are recommended on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Be a part of a political party when they get in. They want to take shots at one another. I always give you all a prime example. Always remember this, Bahamian people. There were 2 top cops set off at the same time. The former commissioner of police, Ellison Greenslade, and the former assistant commissioner of police and former minister of national security for the Free National Movement, Marvin Dames. Now, if you remember, both of them were sent to London, and they were vying for the top spot. 1 were PLP, 1 were FNM. And what happened? And then Mr. Dames worked under Greenslade for a few years at the airport, and he's a very highly and decent officer, because I watched Mr. Dames many times at the airport, and, you know, like, if you park your car to the airport, you know, officers would come and tell you, you got to move that, or they would tell you it got to get towed. And Dames would stand there, and he'd watch you, and he'd say, how long are you going to be there? And then he'd say, you need some help getting your bikes or your car? I need to give you a few minutes just to get yourself together. So he was a very decent officer. To my aspect, I've seen him perform. But on the other end, like being a politician, they hold grudges against one another. And, you know, when the Free National Movement came in power, Greenslade, I think he did 7 years, do the next 10. I think that's the problem now. He switched commissioners too fast, and that's where the corruption comes in, because it's favor, and everyone know that if I could get in, hey, the prime minister is going to make me assistant, and then in a few years, he'd make me commissioner of police. And the evidence to prove that is that when Greenslade was commissioner, Marvin Dames and the Free National Movement, under the leadership of the Right Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis, won the general election, I think 2017. And it was said that, you know, that Marvin becoming the Minister of National Security, that, you know, he assured the general public that Ellison Greenslade's job is secure in that type of aspect. You know, listen, a year or two later, and Ellison Greenslade now as ambassador. You know, he had to step down on whose recommendation? I guess it was former Minister of National Security, Marvin Dames. Reason why? We have to protect ourselves by putting our officers in place. And in that tension, we changed about two from Paul Roll to Ferguson. Each one of them served 2 years as commissioner. I think the longest serving commissioner of police we ever had was B.K. Barnaby, the late, great B.K. Barnaby, who served 13 years, if I'm correct. And then after him is Ellison Greenslade, who served 7. And then after that, everyone do 2, 2, 2. What sense of that? And each time we change commissioner of police, they bring in their team. So if we have a good organization working on the crime problem and trying to solve the crime problem and the drug trafficking and immigration, what happens? It gets dissolved. Because this officer don't want this guy on his team because he's a Free National Movement. Or this officer don't want this one now because he's a PLP. You're all so stupid. This the Bahamas. You're all stupid, bad. Honestly speaking, this the Bahamas. Who cares? You're still the police. Come on. And you know who's responsible for this? Both the PLP and Free National Movement are responsible for this, because over the last 50 years, as they win the general election, they put their people in place. And that's a strategy that all governments do around the world. But look what it has done to us. Now we're in this big scandal all over the world. And they won't blame the Bahamian people. Let me just read this now. All right. Where are you going? I just added this now. 1 second. I have so much newspaper, and I like read so much. You know, I have to write down, but I have so much newspaper. Yes. But anyway, the Honorable Minister of National Security, Vian Manuel, say, with this indictment against law enforcement officials, that the U.S., this might cause problems with the U.S. and government agencies working with the Bahamas. No, not the Bahamas. Don't blame the Bahamian people on this. This bundling on the police and this bundling on the government of the Bahamas. Y'all make it bad for us to travel. Y'all mess up. Not us. We ain't the one who loud on the plane and ain't doing your job. Not us. Not us. So why we always got to get the blame when you look at the Bahamas? No, it's not the Bahamas. It's the Bahamas government and the Bahamas police. Not the Bahamian people. We ain't the ones who the Americans keeping it a secret of who this high profile is, sitting politician who is a conspirator to illegal drugs and firearms that are coming in our country. Let me ask you all a question. I've been saying this over years and years. Those guns that were brought in, that were confiscated, because I'm going to go with the commissioner said. First, let me just say what the commissioner stated. I'm going to cool on a little bit. The commissioner, the outgoing commissioner of police, Clayton Fernando, he stated after officers was indicted in the United States of America on firearms and drug possession charges in the tons, he stated that corruption is in the force. He stated this goes back to previous administration. So he also stated we in the general public should not call no names, right? He told us this. I listened to his speech like he's some kind of politician. I don't understand how he could update the country on national issues. But anyway, he said that we shouldn't call no names. He said because it could mess up the reputation of the individual, right? He said this. But yet still in his interview, he stated that he would be questioning former commissioner Paul Rowell. He'd be talking to former commissioner Paul Rowell. He wants to talk to former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Minnis, right? One other person. But you say don't call no names. Now you put it in the you said with your own mouth in your own interview, don't call no one name. So how you could call Marvin Dames, Paul Rowell, and Hubert Minnis? So you saying don't speculate and call no one name, right? But yet still you trying to put in the behemoth minds that this thing been going on a little while, so let me put some of the focus on these individuals. Yeah, they could be involved too. I'm not saying they ain't involved, but you said it your own mouth, don't call nobody name. See, I just read between the lines, you know. All this is just political. You understand? So he said there's corruption. So let me ask you something. When does corruption start? This just start now because these individuals, the two officers, the Defense Force officer, got indicted. So the corruption start then? Why, when you sitting as commissioner of police, and you still are, talk about there's corruption in the force then? You ain't mentioned none of these things. People want to know about the airport. And I made a mistake last week when I talked about Ferguson. Ferguson, the one who was accused of the shooting with Rowell, who was killed at the airport last week on the show. Okay? These things going on. The ASP was in charge of the airport. He's in charge of aviation. The murder scene going on there at the airport. Armed robbery going on to the airport. The airport get all kind of cameras, all kind of police. No footage, no nothing. Huh? Then you had other officers, senior officers on the family island who got locked up, bringing in a plane full of drugs. Right? Then the next officer, senior officer, and when are you going to fill us in? Are you going to leave office and you're just going to say corruption is deep in the Royal Bahamas Police Force? Tell us who officers are corrupt, what information you get about corruption on the force. Let us know if some of these corruption are linked to murders that we suspect as citizens that when that was where we believe that senior officers were involved in either setting it up or putting a hit out for these individuals who were killed. You know, you talk about corruption, sir. But you ain't explaining nothing else. You just can't leave office and talk about the force corrupt. All that's happened under your watch. Now, I heard the prime minister stated that, you know, Clayton Fernando is stepping down as the commissioner of police, right? And he let us know that, you know, he is not stepping down because he did something wrong, right? So he letting us know he is stepping down because he did nothing wrong. Well, just say, we ain't catch him in the arguing nothing wrong, right? But yes, he did something wrong. He turned a blind eye to what his colleagues were doing on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, what they were doing the Bahamian citizen, whether you're a law-abiding citizen or you're a criminal, he failed because he turned the other cheek. Because it's impossible for the U.S. to be doing an investigation from 2021, but they're saying further than that, they're saying fast 2017. And the government of the Bahamas have no communication with the U.S. government. It only states one thing. They already got their information that some of the senior officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force are criminals. Simple as that. Simple as that. And the only reason this came out, listen, Beam, and this is why you gotta take things serious. This is for all of us. Because all of our children could get killed. Some of them already got killed. Some get locked up for things they didn't even do. Some got charges put on them from officers that they didn't even do the crime right now. So all the speculation that all the behemoths been talking about all these years on the streets, and you know, there was no one to represent us. There's no one to speak up for us. There was no law to attack us. So we just assume these things. All the assumption is true. It's true. And the commissioner of police turning a blind eye because he needed to tell us before he leave office, he needed to tell us what kind of corruption he talking about. Because we have some ideas. We have many ideas on the streets of National Providence on some of the corruption. But we need to know because he said it in his own mode before he leave office, right? Then he tried to put it in, and he said, man, listen. And he said, don't call no one name. But when you listen later, I like the question, the former Minister of National Security. I like the question, the former Prime Minister. I like the question, the former, huh? So now you want to show it on somebody else, and you said it. It ain't just started with this government. So that means you was a police officer all this time and a senior police officer. What kind of corruption you saw with your own eyes while you was during your tenure? The Prime Minister talked about distinguished career. Yes, he has a distinguished career. That don't mean he ain't doing nothing wrong. Huh? That don't mean he ain't doing nothing wrong. He just, you know, you seen get catch. I ain't saying he's a criminal. No. I ain't saying he doing nothing wrong. But how do we know? Huh? Because Effie is the commander in chief of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And we get officers running tons of drugs. I think the plane or the boat that go to America, he has the note because he's the commissioner. So he just turned a blind eye. He might not be involved. He just, you know, he just leave the cops and let them do their thing because they protect one another. But that has to come to end because we're all in jeopardy. And then the Minister of National Security, but it will affect the working condition of the Bahamas, the Bahamian people. No, it affects the working relationship with you as Minister of National Security who failed to do your job. And you, Commissioner of Police, who failed to do your job. And to the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he too slow. Now he's making some good strides. He's talking about an independent body. He's talking about asking the U.S. he would assist them and anyone who was involved in these indictments. That might be true. But Mr. Prime Minister, again, people saying you were covering up too because this incident with Johnson, you were supposed to act then. You know, Clayton Fernando, the outgoing commissioner of police. Let me just say this. With the Johnson incident, that was treason. Even though they say he would address it before the year's out, or hopefully the incoming Miss Knowles, Shante Knowles, but explain it to us step by step. You know? And you didn't knock, Mr. Prime Minister. You didn't knock. And if you're not knocking, a lot of people right now, you have lost a lot of momentum. I said that, you know, the PLP could have probably been Tupac the Bach and probably, you know, Chester Cooper would probably you know, be the next prime minister to come to the Bahamas after Brave probably win the election. You know, they probably go on 15 years. But all that is being shown out the window now. It's up for grabs right now. He still has a chance to try and redeem himself, him and the government. But it's going to be a lot of work. I have to convince the Bahamian people. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the side in the city.
Excuse me? Call today to just talking voice along with you, Scooch.
Good night, good night.
You Justice, Law, and Order in the Bahamas here. You know, Scooch, the Prime Minister need to know. We don't need Wayne hanging on to his coattail to get to, you know, to walk through this political, you know, atmosphere. Because ain't nobody playing with him. See, Wayne are not decent. He don't want people decent. Nah, he like talking about what people are dead. What about all those wrong he had did to people? He went into the House of Assembly. Okay? He jiving. He could never get back in the House of Assembly if the Bahamian people have enough sense to see what he did and what he are doing. Okay? He gonna make it bad for the PLP. And we ain't playing with him. He need to get out. Get out of our faces. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dad. Listen, let me tell you. See, the PLP was looking good. Trust me. But right now, they ain't looking so good. Let me give you a prime example, too. You know, I don't get caught up in the political thing because, like I said, I've been in the political thing for 20 years. I was diehard PLP. You understand? A few years, I worked with the Free National Movement. That's when I became a nationalist. And after I became a nationalist, I put down parties, and they say, hey, yeah, this ain't working. I said, let me try to do some independent record. Do more and help more. What else to say now? Boy. Well, anyway, let me say this. There was a statement made by Fred Mitchell. And this is the kind of stuff that has bugged me. And this is not a talk on the Progressive Liberal Party. This is on talk what happened under their watch. And they must take responsibility because they seem like they ain't taking no responsibility because the kind of comments you get from leaders, you know, and like the caller stated earlier, they don't understand what we're going through. I think Fred Mitchell stated that. He does not think that corruption is systematic in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. That's what this man say. That's what this man say. This man head got to be screwed on backwards. Because with all these incidents of officers raping, officers robbing, officers getting charged with murder by manslaughter, officers going on drive-by shooting and then decide to shoot on his colleagues. And then with all the abuse goes on in the station. And he has the heart to say it's not systematic. You are completely out of touch with the Bahamian people. With all this crap going on right now with the senior officers and the Royal Bahamas Police Force in disarray. And you got the heart to come out here and say these kind of insults to the Bahamian people. What you mean it's not systematic? So what is systematic? So you're trying to say there's only one or two people. There ain't one or two people in that. Huh? That is something that has been dwelling on the Royal Bahamas Police Force for the last 50 years and has gotten worse. Because think about this. We hear about all these guns, we wonder where these guns coming from. And you listen, you know, like I said, I don't know who Defense Force officer or who believes, right? Who was involved in things that happen in the streets right now, right? I can't say, but I know it's police. I know it's Defense Force officers. I know that if they go to sea, and why is they go to sea, if they're not decent officers, if they're not corrupted officers, they go to sea, they pull away some sloop. They pull away the station sloop, they find guns. They find cocaine. Sometimes they turn in a little and keep the majority. Sometimes they keep all and let the people go free. But we wouldn't know because we're not out to sea. We're not to the airport. We're not out to the sea. So we wouldn't know these things. They take these things. I mean, they get these stuff, these firearms. They have friends who they know. They don't want to deal with it. So they pass it on to the guy on the streets who was a dope dealer or a career criminal. And then they use these weapons against their enemies. And in some cases, when they shoot these guns, they end up shooting innocent people. Okay? So it's called a trickle-down effect as well. Not because you ain't pull the trigger, that don't mean you're responsible for the murder. So if we have our law enforcement ledge, but they're charged before the court, you know the U.S. and the FBI, they ain't gonna lock you up unless they have concrete evidence. So those guns and drugs coming in the country, going in other people's hands in the country. Joe, turf war. Guys get guns, they use it. So who's the fault? You can imagine the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. And they're locking up all the people on the streets for a little half bag, little ounce of weed. Huh? And then we're going to put saturation patrol and come out on the criminals. But look where they is. Look where the criminals are. Huh? In the shadows. The same people who protecting and serving. All this stuff with behemoth people. The insane. All these yes about the corruption. Nah. Boy, listen, and I've been saying it, and I'm not trying to bring down the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They bring down themselves. They say, what you do in the dark will come in the light. Miles Monroe stated, and he stated these things, what's going to happen, and they're happening. Nah, I think I was going to say something to the Prime Minister. Yeah, I think I can remember what I say. Yeah, so... the Prime Minister said, you know, you want to put the Prime Minister wants to put an independent commission of investigation. An independent commission, right? How long have I been saying that we need private people to look at these matters of shooting and abuse that is being reported by citizens? Because if we let the police investigate police, it's going to take years, and sometimes we will get no results. And the people have lost faith, just like if we lost faith in the corners, okay? And it favors the police. And we've always been at a disadvantage when it comes to these things. And I've seen the former Prime Minister, you were administering independent commission of investigation bill. It takes time too, because what is going to happen is that people who they appointed, probably connected to the PLP and FNM, and when you put them there, you know, they could be biased. You know, we need to put people there who are nationalists. And if they are part of the PLP and FNM and they are recommended to this board, that should be thrown out the window as individuals and look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that your child, right, could be on the ground, dead in the streets, if you do not do the right thing. And the right thing is, you've got to put where right is and put where wrong is. And you're going to have to judge the officers based on the evidence. And if they are guilty, you're going to have to make those recommendations. And we also have to remember that a lot of people lie on the police as well. So we have to make sure that the person who's given their complaint is also investigated and what they're saying is true, because we don't want people just jump on the police because, you know, everyone is really upset with the police. So we have to make it a fair transitional program that is fair to both parties. And that's how I feel about it. You know, we pass too much laws and legislation, you know, but we never We never act on them. They're in the books, but we never act on them. We just keep on adding legislation on, but we don't act on them. You know, and then we're going to get relaxed again. You know? This is just my take on the whole thing about the new incoming commissioner of police, Ms. Knowles. Listening to the boat parties, I have a few friends who's police officers as well. You know, they said that she is a very decent officer. I went with you being decent, all right? She also works closely with the U.S. I think that the U.S. is dictating to the Bahamas government when it comes to who should be appointed as the commissioner of police, because I think they did not give her the information about the MP because they're using strategy. You know, they're using strategy to demand some type of a reform, and this is how they are doing it. She is recommended. I think that she is going to be great for the job, but she has a tough task, and the tough task is this. Corruption not only deals with drugs and police dealing with drugs and importing and exporting drugs, lying, abuse of power. What about the stations? What about when suspects and citizens get locked up and they go in the station and they're mistreated by the officers in the station? What you going to do with that? Okay? And as well, we also have to have protection against the officers, because sometimes the suspects themselves are very, very aggressive. And in some cases, the officers have to use force in matters like that. Now, if they could act like how they did in the House of Parliament and how they took out the opposition, you know, they left them out kind of nice, you know. If it was a citizen like us, we would have been getting stumped and dragged. All right? So they did a good job of taking out the opposition in the House Assembly, you know, because that was warranted at that particular time. But I'm saying, what about the abuse in the station? What about the abuse when police officers pull over civilians, citizens and civilians who are law-abiding citizens, and the officer acts in a manner that's not befitting to be a police officer? And then the citizen, you know, gets upset and tries to talk back to the officer, and the officer uses his position of power to lock that individual up, charge them with disorderly behavior, resisting arrest, and cursing. And they're the ones who, instead of them de-escalating the situation, they escalate the situation. What you going to do about that, Ms. Knowles? What you going to do with the treatment in the police station? What you going to do with the way how officers talk to citizens? And sometimes citizens get out of character as well. So the officers are going to know how. The officers are going to have to know how to be aggressive and how to say goodnight. You know, talk to behaving people in the manner that is befitting to talk to a behaving. Not shut your mouth up and you don't get locked up or shoot you in your head. See, these things. What about the abusive language? What about all this stuff? Huh? So, this goes deep. I'm talking for each and every behemoth in the country. This goes deep. Then I'm going to talk about the opposition. My take on them. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
I do, Father Scrooge.
Good night.
I didn't crash.
You just caught me?
Listen, I see after all this debacle with the police, the Royal Bahamas Police Force, right?
Yeah.
I see six cars and jeeps, Quaco Street, all the lights on, the bells and trinkets, speeding around through our communities. But they need to go and speed through the communities of these police who create these crimes, not come and terrorize us.
It's garbage.
And, you know, Scrooge, it's good that you make this point that the average Bahamian don't know the terror that people over the hill go through with these brothers. So what I would want, right?
Go ahead, brother.
Is for there be a speedy investigation and to immediately lock these people up, put chain on their foot, handcuff on their hand, and let them face the courts. I want them go to Big J. That's my 5 cents.
Thank you, Garvin. This is my boy, Garvin.
Okay, let me read a few messages. Okay.
Okay, this is our officer, and I'm going to read you what they're saying. Thank you for informing the public about the nasty politics involved in promotion exercise. I was taken off the promotion list 3 times. This is a police officer. I will send you my resume. I'm not going to call your name, but send it to me. I was taken off the promotion list 3 times, bro. I will send you my resume, which speaks for itself. But don't mention my name because I am not a political. I'm not politically protected or connected. And this is true. See, because there's a lot of good cops who want to speak out of what's going on in force, but they can't because guess what? You would be finished. That's discrimination when it's supposed to be an organization that is based on merit, not because you're a political party. And this gentleman, this officer, now saying that, and I'm not going to call your name and you send it to me, so. Okay? I think I'm going to read it right now. Send me his resume. I'm not going to call his name. Let me see if it come up. All right. Okay, listen to this resume. 2021 President Administration, Minister Assistant Superintendent, National Crime Prevention Office, Community Young People Outreach Management. He worked at Central Intelligence Bureau, Manager of Intelligence Office for Prison and Airport. He was in North Andres Division, Crime Manager for North and Central Andres. You work in the Fresh Creek Police Station, you know. He work in the Wally Bill of Indictment. He was a voluntary bill of indictment supervisor. He was the armed robbery section supervisor. He was a general investigation section supervisor, stolen vehicle section supervisor. He was a national security officer providing training for officers in the Bahamas and other countries, reporting, memos, writing, provided the necessary support to managing team of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. He was a research analyst, contact officer, lead investigator, intelligence elevation officer, assistant registry officer. These the officers who deserve to have these positions because he's well qualified. And the gentleman is stating that he is not a part of the PLP and the FNM. So what I'm telling you is the truth because I have officers who come, I have cousins, and they talk about the disarray. And if they don't like you, you go in Pelican Bay. You don't believe this? What did Clayton Fernandez state? He said in this interview, he got backbench, put on leave under the Free National Movement Administration. He was put away to, I think, the clinic. Right? So even him was victimized, right? But again, because the Free National Movement after Clayton Fernando, because they know he was a PLP appointee, they didn't want him there to know their business. So all them who gave this promotion to Pacific officers, a lot of these officers don't deserve those promotion people. I heard the Prime Minister say that they're going to do screening and to make sure that they're going to put it out to the public that if these officers who the public feels that are in some way not fit to be police officers, all this would be took into recommendation. I saw the opposition, Honorable Michael Pintard, spoke that if the Free National Movement becomes the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, they will no longer politically appoint officers. So I've been saying this for years, and a lot of people, oh, you know what you're talking. Yeah, but why all of a sudden now you're saying this? Because it's the truth I've been telling you guys. I've been telling you this They are appointed, and they destroy the morals of decent, good officers who some, if they get the position, they go there for integrity and they want to make a change. And when they go there, they might not be corrupt as some of the top brass officers in the country. And honestly, to tell you the truth, I believe all to the top were involved in some type of corruption, some way, somehow. And like I said, you might not be in the wall, but you know what's going on. And like I said, I don't think I have no information that Clayton Fernando was corrupt. But I can say this, he turned a blind eye, so that's even worse. Because all of these officers who were charged with serious offenses in the last 3 years, they were under his watch. So he is responsible, and he did nothing. He did nothing to warn the Bahamian people. And some of these persons who got killed might not even be there today if he did act as commissioner of police. So he turned a blind eye. Mr. Davis, we don't have no evidence he did no crime, but he turned a black eye because he had a lot of rogue criminal cops on the force who did not deserve to be on the force and should have been fired effectively, immediately, especially when you all say, oh, get all these, this, what, SIB, what is investigating police. They ain't investigating no police because everyone is friends. We need a team of people, investigation team that goes in that. When we hear shooting, we get a private set of people, we get all the information, and we act on it. And that's the bottom line. Good night. Are we going to take this call? Good night, you're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, good night, Scrooge. How you doing?
Good night, sir. Good night to you.
First time caller to your show. You know, Scrooge, when you listen to what has been said, it says that the Royal Bahamas Police Force has a culture of criminality and corruption. That's a powerful statement, not from the nation itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to ask, what does it take to develop culture?
Mm-hmm.
Scrooge, do you speak with an accent because they train you to speak with an accent? Mm. Or it became a natural part of your growing?
Keep a natural part.
See, so when you have corruption, that means it isn't like you sprinkle corruption into place.
Mm-hmm.
It is permeate from the beginning to the end.
It started to develop.
And so, right. And so it says that it says that what you permit today will become your culture of tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
But what happens is just like how we have the Kong salad, right? We now take the tropical. First, people used to be like, who the hell do this, whatever. And then slowly now, you could almost find 50% of the people asking tropical. How did that develop over 20 years? And so even they say from cultural science, it says it takes anywhere from 3 to 5 years for the first inkling to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the force itself didn't grab it. That means somewhere in there was small growth.
Yes, sir.
Until the force itself become what we say it is today.
Yes, sir.
So it is going to take more than the changing of the leadership to the top, because it means that when you consider 3,000 officers, mm-hmm. are they all blind to what they see, that none of them thought it was necessary to say something is not wrong with this, this, and this, that
mm-hmm.
we had no police reporting anything mm-hmm. in 10 years, 20
mm-hmm.
years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it has to change. One of the things, I'm a strong person for technology, because technology brings accountability.
Yes, sir.
And so what we have to do is we have to move to quickly digitize the Royal Bahamas Police Force and what they do, from evidence gathering to patrolling to various things. This isn't a maybe. If we could find tens of millions of dollars to travel around the world, how much cameras, body cameras can we get? Mm. How much cameras can we put in the police force? I mean, in each of our stations. We don't have that much around. This is how important this is, because what you have right now in Grand Bahama, the DEA is moving away, suspending their operations here,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the Northern Bahamas. And if you go, why would they do? Because essentially, they must be believed they have no confidence in who we are from our law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
And or they could be at risk.
Yes, sir.
Right? So it says to us that this is the most important thing for us to deal with. And I'm not talking about no pseudo intellectual public masturbation from the leadership. I'm talking about are we going to pass a law and we're going to look at it. We know what the problem is.
That's right.
Right? And so we don't have to look at it. What we have to do is we have to seek to study it. And this is why a commission, the commission of inquiry is important, because it says you can't manage what you can't measure,
mm-hmm.
and you can't measure what you can't acknowledge.
Mm.
And so we need to have the exposure. We need an intensive investigation, not only of the police officers, but things they have done.
Yes.
One of the most powerful tools in the digital technology is a financial law.
Yes.
Because what happens is, in fact, everyone who works in our civil service, not just some, all, should be subject to financial scrutiny.
Yes, sir.
If you don't want to be subject to the financial scrutiny, don't put in the application for the job.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And so we need a huge reform, but it requires leadership that acknowledges there is a problem and what to have to do with it. I congratulate Ms. Cartwright. Ms. Cartwright, Ms. Knowles.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
And I believe that she has an opportunity to digging down in and exposing the rot from within.
Mm.
And go down, for whatever your term is, as the person who really shook the tree. Because I'm afraid if the MP shake the tree, they should go in the tree. You know how you climb up in the tree and shake it?
Yes, sir.
They should climb in a tree and shake it, and I bet you some of them fall too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling it, sir. Great input. That's what I like. I like that we as Bahamians see the importance of this, you know, and Fred Mitchell. You know, I'm, like I say, I don't have nothing against it, but him to say that he don't believe it is systematic. You see, you don't have to worry about the police, Mr. Mitchell, because they ain't going to never come to you, because you protect and you're some millionaire and you get his party behind you. But for the everyday citizens who live in this country, to see our brothers and sisters in uniform and they abuse us, okay? At the same time, again, the citizens, some of our citizens are stink now. Don't get me wrong now. But that is a culture that we develop over the years, like the caller stated, and it developed. And that's because of poverty and lack of education, lack of the family value. So that's why we have so much aggressive young females and young males out there that they don't know how to deal with anger management. They don't know how to talk to nobody. That is reflection on the leadership, because we have failed to educate them. We have failed to teach them what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman. Yeah, in many cases. Okay, I get this message here from my friend Elroy. Elroy Bryce. He said, there's no transparency and no punishment for the corrupt police or MPs. All right? And he said the gentleman who called us now is a very powerful speaker. And it's the truth. Because, you know, the caller just stated like 20 years and we have not heard nothing about these things happening or the commissioners speak out on these things, so they were protecting one another in the organization. Now, it is eroded and get out of control because the slackness has developed where officers who, oh, it's a PLP. Boy, when my boss get in, I have to worry about nothing. That's all happening. I mean, the F and them get in, they go after this. And you know what you do? You leave the moral. So you destroy the morals of the force. And those who got officers out there who want to speak up, they can't speak up because their lives could be in jeopardy. And some of them would go to Pelican Bay. You know what I mean? They stay a corporal and get no promotion wise. They watch guys who they went to school, who they call schoolie, go up the ranks. And they still are the same position. That's what that officer sent to me about his resume. His resume is so long, and he's so intelligent. And he said, it's a true young man. And yes, officers like that deserve to get his position. Not because you're PLP or FNM, and that needs to stop. But yeah, no opposition speaking on that. It has to stop. I mean, one time, like I tell you, I could respect inspector. There's so much inspectors now. The inspector has lost its, the cocky has lost its respect. Because political interference, and both on the PLB and the FNM. Oh, I can take this one call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good night, Scrooge.
You say 52?
Yeah, enough respect, my brother. Enough respect to Garvin, too. You know, I didn't know Garvin was from the inner city, but I cycle in past you all every day. We need to get together and deal with some type of agenda, because we have to protect ourselves, to be honest with you, right? And everything what you're saying is true. So people like me and you was crying wolf for years, right? decades, right, Scoozy? You even mentioned, you remember when we got off, we had the situation with the little general case with the officers who shot one another that night.
Yeah,
remember that, right?
My good friend Zach, yeah. Jeffrey Tucker, one of the best police officers in the country.
Yeah, but listen to me, Scoozy.
Go ahead, sir.
You go on and on. People always hear me talking about the Chris Cummer case because they don't really understand that I'd read the adjudication. I'd read the newspaper articles.
I got hung in a station.
Chris Cummer died in they say he hanged himself in the
station. That was the number one hit. That was the number one hitman in the country, and I used to work for him.
Yeah, but if you watch the movies and hitman get locked up and he dies in the cell, you know, we don't need anyone to make conclusions for us.
That'd go deep. That'd go deep.
And you talked about these things. I no longer than today I'd call and said that these accusations go beyond just what these guys are accused of, right?
Go deep.
So, I don't know if CA is being kind of naive or facetious sometimes, but you know, CA knows he's well intelligent, so he knows what a federal grand jury, an indictment, he knows what that is. That means that evidence has been gathered. There's a preponderance or an abundance of evidence. So let's not be naive and talk about allegedly. There's no alleged.
It's no alleged. It just happened.
An indictment is that you mix up in photograph
that's,
conversations, whatever.
That's right. We know the FBI don't play. We know the FBI don't play. That's concrete.
I won't get on with this situation. Remember when the commissioner took a photograph with the weapons the other day?
Yes.
With the weapons up in the air?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was the psyops. Now, let's see the weapons that these guys were caught with, since you're saying this is what's coming into the country. And then we had Mr. Monroe talking about self-shots and this and all that, with the guys I'm doing. And we see that who makes up in all of these nefarious type of sagas, right? Now, the question is, when I said that, remember, it was something to do with When I asked someone if they knew the repercussions of an officer having an illegal firearm, if they know the real repercussions, the multiplicity of repercussions, or the implications of that. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you mentioned that because we are inner-city youths.
Yes, sir.
I like how Garvin stressed the fact that we all on the same page. You're right. And we see what's going on in the city. And in my little time on Earth, you know, it's very inglorious, and the disrespect, just the continual disrespect of what we see going on. You remember Kenneth Gibson, Shaba cousin?
Yeah.
Remember Kenneth Gibson?
Yeah, I remember the name.
Yeah, but he was a crook, and he was a rogue, and some of the things that he was in the city doing, you wouldn't even believe it, there was an officer, but he's no longer with us. He's deceased. But what I'm saying is, Garvin highlighted a problem whereby, and I like what C. Allen said too, nothing is being done. So when you look at the Mr. Monroe came on and said that we need to sponsor for cameras for the police force. But the fact that they haven't implemented cameras, right?
And they ain't using them?
Yeah, yes, sir. No, but the fact that they haven't implemented cameras, right?
Yes, sir.
Is what the problem is, because they didn't see the urgency for it. You understand what I'm saying? So the fact that they didn't see the urgency for the implementation of cameras shows that they're willing to hide something, because this is a way to safeguard them and us. So situations involving me over the decades, over the years, right? And I can remember one so vividly whereby I was asked if I have any witnesses. So a female who was with me was there, and along with my niece, but they are afraid to go to the complaints unit. So when you wear a camera, you don't need to ask me if I have any witness. You see where the burden, the onus lies on me, the citizen. You asking me as a witness to what they choke and push. All them things you talk about didn't happen, nothing. You know. Put gun to my head, I'd kill you. I didn't handcuff you, got the gun to my head, you choking me, you slapping me, you beating me, all these different things.
All these things is happening.
Well, some people a little earlier saying 50 don't like the police. The police ain't there for me to like.
No.
And I don't have to like, but I like some officers because I know the encounters I have with some of them. And some of them, when police offer them and I say, man, that's what they shoot at you before, and they run into them, and they see me eating the giant in the back of a truck or handcuff. They say, man, that's what you're running behind you for, man, a giant. They can tell me, say, man, hurry up, you did before you reach the station. So they demonize us for this weed. They almost choke me, squeeze me, kill me, break my wishbone.
Mm.
Over a giant weed back in 2007 in the rain. I have all kind of witnesses. A nigga come to the corner, say, man, they shoot 52, but they ain't never to call me. I can't call my sweet name. They say, he tell my brother they shoot me because he see me fall down in the rain. This is in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what they find? Not even nothing, because I eat the giant. The giant. I only run because I had a couple half bag in my pocket that I had just bought. But they won't kill me for that, squeezy. Break my wishbone. You know, the doctor tell me, he ain't going to court and he ain't writing me no statement for the police. He ain't supporting me with that. I can carry that to them, and they can wait. So this would be up against you. So then we up against this, too. I was by the barracks the other day, and the officer told me that. And I had Inspector Curse in front of me. Curse me. Just talking to me. And when I told him about he had a problem, we don't need to be going up to the barracks to get no complaint, man. We don't need to be doing that. We really don't need to be doing that, Scoozy.
Because we ain't getting no justice. We get abused up there.
Yeah, but they need to move that whole entity from up there.
Put it private.
Yeah, we don't need to see them. We don't need them to intimidate us. We You need follow-ups to make sure why. If I come and make a complaint and I don't come back, you need to find out if I was intimidated or what happened to me. Mm-hmm. You see, the writing was on the wall for too long now. If you look at the Sonny Miller case, they had the Sonny Miller case in the newspaper. They had it on the fourth page. They didn't say he's an officer. I wonder why nobody read it. So we is a part of the problem because we put our head in the sand. They didn't listen to people like me and you and whoever called and talk the truth because they live in Glass. Well, I wouldn't even close the Glass. I call it Ivory Towers. The Garvin say Glass. That's what they're saying. So we are suffering the price and the corruption chicken has come home to roost. And there's no integrity for them to uphold no more because I told them on the radio the corruption in the police force is irreparable because they have allowed it to run away with itself, self-govern itself, mm-hmm. and then it has become a substrate for corruption. It's the breeding ground for corruption. I don't care what they say. They need to get some real implementations there to try get to have some oversight, man, and have to be civilian oversight. Mm-hmm. Bless up.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with you, 50. Let me tell you why I'm going to agree. 50 to why I'm going to agree with you. And you say that was food. That's C. Allen. Call it. Listen why I'm going to agree with you. ASP Johnson, who's in charge of the Criminal Investigation Department of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, right? He was accused of a voice note between an individual who was known to police concerning bribes up to $100,000 to drop charges as a lead investigator who's supposed to be protecting and serve the citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, but yet still is alleged that he was working to drop charges against a known person who is now deceased, right? And he is put on leave, right? God on leave. Now we get 3 months or 4 months later, a next ASP charge with serious charges in the United States of America indictment, right? So what it tells you? It tells you that the guy wasn't even checking to see Johnson was involved. So he must say Johnson's a fool. I ain't going to get catched like that. So it shows you that if he didn't take Johnson serious and to try to slow down what he or the rest of them doing, it shows you that they're so untouchable. They believe they were so untouchable. Hey, but God is the one who gives you a leeway, and then He cuts it short when you want to continue doing wickedness, saying you're doing good. You're preaching one thing in the uniform, and my man, it's crazy. You know, so all some of these guns were on the streets, the cocaine that the young gentleman who killed a 70-year-old woman. You know, the guy was hitting coke, so that's coke coming from the same connection, because that's how it go. It trickled down, people. Guns trickled down. It can land to the port, and it can end up Forks Hill. It can end up in Grunstown. It can end up in Camp Road. It can end up everywhere, because there's connections everywhere. You understand? Just like when drugs reach, it reached one spot. So 10 guys, there, they put a little, one put a little 5 grand, one put a 10, one put 30, one put 50, probably one put $100,000, so he get the biggest share. So when he get a share, he going to Forks Hill. He that's it. That's it. We pull up in a bar called South Beach, and we get our drugs to come in, all right? So when we splitting it up now, I take in my 2,000 pound, and I carry it in Forks Hill. So when I reach in Forks Hill, I get a couple of little guys who I cool with, you know? So I'm going to, hey, but listen what you're saying. You ready? I ready to drop on 20 pound on you, all right? I looking for 10 grand for that. You could sell each one of them pound. You could sell each one of them pound for like $600. But guess what? They only want 5 from you, right? So all I get is give me on 10 grand. And what you saying? I'm a nigga around the corner joking, man. No, I at the same time, I get some new tool too. Yeah, man, this one tool, you know? Hold on that. Guy go to somebody else down the road, the same drug dealer. You go to somebody else down the road, someone who you ain't like, and he give them gun too. Then the next one who get his stash in South Beach, eh? He give them the boys too. So when we go to the nightclub now, you get a gun, I get a gun. You know where all these guns come from? The one source. That's where the guns come from. The one source. And it spreads in the country because there's only 21/7. That's how tense work in the country. You understand? That's how serious it is. And this Fred Mitchell, but he don't believe it's systematic. See, Mr. Mitchell,
With all due respect, right, I have respect for you guys as leaders. But you guys ain't fit to lead this country because y'all have no, y'all have no type of heart for the Bahamian people. You can say it's systematic. Huh? The guys can get catch bringing in tons of drugs on firearm. Trader Lord. We need to play Sharper song with the call Trader Lord. Trader Lord. Right? So where do you think these guns end up? Huh? Where do you think the drugs end up? Huh? In the hands of at-risk kids on the 100 murders or some of the 100 murders is connected to that particular transaction which comes from the head of DCM officers and Defense Force officers charge. And this has been going on a long time. I talked about Lemuel Gibson. Remember when Samuel Knighty Knowles was questioned? I think it's Lyndon Pinlin, and they talk about Lemuel Gibson and the caller talk about finance reform. How could Defense Force officer be bigos and you're only making like, what, $60,000 a year? Or a police officer, you get 3-4 houses on the account. You get on 2, 3, 4, 5 million. How you get it? Huh? Now, if he's a businessman and he earned that by owning the car company or owning the food store and the money is give account for it, there's no problem with that. Okay, but if you see officers on the force and they get, now like I tell you, they could save up a lot of time and earn their money. This is not for all officers now. But the bad apples all do the good in this. Because this one incident right here, but the officer, the ESP, all do the whole Bahamas. So you can't say it's one bad apple, but this one big apple, old shadow. Everything that's going international, that's going around the world, this went in Germany, France, they get it, United States, Canada, this one bad apple. And don't blame the Bahamian people. Wayne Monroe. But this would affect the relationship between the armed forces with the Bahamas, Bahamian people. No, with you guys, with the PLB government, and the Ministry of National Security, and the police, not us. No, not us. So America, please don't come down on the Bahamian people. Come down on our government. And come down on our police officers who are crooked. Those who are crooked. But for the set who deserve to have promotion, who honestly deserve to have promotion, like that decent officer who sent me his whole resume, and his resume is so long, and the guy's being denied promotion 2 or 3 times because he's not a political or affiliated. That is wrong. That is racism. That is bias. It is wrong. And it's been going on too long. Now, guess what? It gets so stink, you can't do nothing with it now. And then let me just speak on the opposition. The opposition went downtown and they went with their coffin. They say it wasn't planned. Well, the opposition is the opposition, okay? But let me just tell y'all guys, let me tell y'all something too. The Bahamian people ain't falling for that either. Because you guys did the same thing. You understand? So you all need to reform too. I understand that the opposition leader, Michael Pintard, he stated that, you know, if the Free National Movement was successful on winning the general election, you know, people would be credited with merit and they would be not politically appointed. All right? Y'all people, all y'all fall for the trick. Y'all fall right into the Roman system. Now look what we get. The police are black people. The citizens are black people. Huh? And look what we get now. We get this black and black syndrome. Well, we have some people who involved with the party still don't believe that it ain't the police fault and that ain't the politician's fault. Okay? But I was quite amazed. There were voice notes put out from some of the PLP MPs. And they sent out voice note to come out and support the Coalition of Independence and the Free National Movement is coming to protest about the various issues happening in the country. And they're saying, come out to support, put on your shirt and come out to support, put on your PLP shirt and come out downtown and support. Bahamian people, I was proud of you guys. Yeah, the FNM was out there because they had their agenda. But for you who were part of the party and you did not go, you still support the party, but you cannot support what the officers them are charged for and what is going on in the Royal Bahamas Police. So I applaud you guys. You understand? You all did not show up because you all know it would have been the wrong thing to do to show up, to fight for something like that, because you all have children too. You understand? So that's being a nationalist. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with supporting the party, you know. But if the party wrong or something wrong in the government structure of the party, whether it's the police, defense force officer, you can't stand for it. I'm proud of you guys who did not go there. You understand? On the part of the Free National Movement, like I say, we ain't falling for that. Because you guys are responsible also for this crap. But we understand you're not the government. You're the opposition. You got to speak out. And it was good for internationally. But we ain't falling for that. It's a step in the right direction to say, you know, we are fighting for the Bahamian people, right? Listen, stop using fighting for this Bahamian people crap. Y'all fighting for power, all right? Because ain't none of y'all get locked up. Y'all let go the minute y'all hit that station because you guys can't get locked up. That is just a public stunt. We all know the rules and regulation of the host. And then the speaker saying that she wasn't fair and it wasn't for a glass of water. Miss, come on. You serious, Miss Speaker? You're going to say that you feel threatened by Shannon O'Carter coming to grab the mace? He didn't try hit you. What did he try to do to you? So the glass of water save you? Stop making these ridiculous comments when people getting killed out here and the reason why some people might be getting killed out here and lost in jail. It's because people use their position of power, like the police, to smuggle in tons of cocaine and firearm that is damaging the Bahamian society. And look who it is, the people who are supposed to protect and serve. And then you are sitting MP. So best anyone get on time for you all. You know, you could win the election all you want. All right? But it's going to be a tough one. Prime Minister can try his best to change the mindset of the Bahamian people, but I'm going to tell you this now. Just like how I'm speaking, you hear a lot of callers calling saying the same thing. It's going to be hard for you guys to win this next election. Your sweet generals out there, I ain't think they could be able to help you all this lap. All right? I just letting you know. We're going to take this call. Greg, good night. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hello.
Good night.
Yeah. Scusi, sorry for calling back, but, you know, I appreciate you so much as far as this particular scenario, but I just wanted to make some quick comments.
Go ahead, brother.
I saw the hyper-dramatics by the Speaker of the House, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to comment on something Mr. Mitchell had said. He was saying, remember, he talked about that scenario about the mace in the House the other day, and he talked about how disgraceful it was, right?
Disgraceful.
But he failed to really say how disgraceful this saga is.
That's disgraceful.
You don't understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I was so sickened by that, right?
Like, but disgraceful of the host?
Yeah. You know, the thing is with me, I could never hate a female officer, right?
No.
But I've come across a few obnoxious and belligerent ones, really and truly, right? Really and truly. But the Shonda Knowles lady, right? The thing is, I hope she's a humane lady. And she is in, like, I consider her to be like Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, she might get angry, but if she's not willing to listen to senior people in communities and really listen and take note and go in the complaints unit and read at least 60 or 70%, whether you get a computer or something to read it out, to the nature of the insubordinations and injustices that are being recorded and reported, then... But, you know, why I say that? Because I had a conversation with a female officer who's been black. She was in had the position in the food store. And she come on like this holier than thou type attitude. And I was sickened by it, right? Mm-hmm. Because things were appearing in the papers and things. The writing was on the wall from a long time. Let's go back. You remember the case with Elvis, right? That Paul Thompson. You remember when Elvis them get captured, the silence them and all the thing them. And you say they was plotting for Bonnie.
Yeah, that's the point.
What I'm saying is people that understand how long this is going on. So really and truly, the Bahamian people are responsible for the level of corruption that has surfaced in the police force, because they haven't been listening to one another. Other sheep in the pasture eating in the same from the same meadows. We haven't been listening to one another, so I blame us.
Yes.
You, me, everybody else is speaking out. Everybody was speaking about the injustice. And the reason why I actually remember the Chris Cullman case is because I had read it. And Satan said an officer had visited him that night.
Three officers.
You can go on the archives. Yeah, but school, you know,
three unidentified officers.
Because I know how dangerous these guys are. We know about Clark After Dark. We heard about the officer in 8 Mile Rock or SN the other day found in his car. But you said something very profound at the beginning of the show as it relates to the Giovanni case at the airport, right? So his family had written an article. His family had an article in the paper the other day. So the implications are very serious as to that article, right? But when you see the lack of a will to investigate cold cases involving their own officers, then that leaves room for speculation and doubt. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's all I can say.
Yes,
so I don't know how good they think that look.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have my own conclusions that I can't say, right? But I'm hoping that everybody can have sense to see that.
Man, everyone gets sense.
There are too many cold cases that they don't solve. I'm not just wondering, like, who involved here. I'm saying that's what it is.
Well,
you're not interested in finding who killed officers?
Well, let me put it to you like this. The Commissioner of Police said it quite clear that corruption is entrenched in the Royal Bahamas Police Force and has been going a long time.
Yeah, but I'm cutting you up, brother. I still want to go. Listen to me. We know.
He need to say what it is. He need to tell us all investigation that he know that he did not put public or investigate because he himself is responsible.
Yeah, but time come, it will be visible. He turned blind eyes. Mm-hmm.
He turned a blind eyes to a lot of things. He can't run from that.
But Scoozy, I don't know if you read the Sonny Miller case. You read the Sonny Miller case in Crooked Island?
No, sir.
All right, well, the residents in Crooked Island know what's going on, you know, like as far as the plane circling illegally before it crossed and all that, yeah, and all the different things. And so he told the other, but you see, an officer could always shout, this is a PSYOPS operation. The Coast Guard swooped in and made him offloading the plane.
Yeah, I remember that.
He pulled a gun on the Colombian pilot.
Yes, I remember that.
Colombian pilot, you said, yes,
I remember that. That was about a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah, I remember that's about a month and a half or 2 months ago. But it's in the Tribune.
Yeah.
It's public business.
Yeah, I read it.
But it's on page 4.
Okay.
So everyone ignore.
Oh, on page 4, you know, front page.
Yeah,
oh.
This is what I'm saying. I hear you.
I say they have on page 4. It ain't on the front page.
You get what I'm saying. So we are all to blame, Scoozy, because, like you said, see, the way you hit things is, it's basically the same thing what I'd be saying.
Yeah.
You cannot solve a problem if you're not conscious or you're not willing to acknowledge the problem.
Yes.
You just sit and talk all day and wait, and then the police force exudes this infallibility once they put on this uniform and they is Mr. So-and-so and they, man, this is ridiculous, man. Who will protect us? I think the citizens have to get together and form their own protection agency.
You get that right.
Really and truly, because the police only come. I mean, no disrespect to the police, hard-working police officers, because I said, we should have a system in place as far as local government where community officers, community take care of them if they in need. You see me? Right, Ross Cousy. If an officer lives in the area and he is in the need of medical problem assistance, why can't we do that?
Yes, sir.
You know, but you have to be of ill repute. You see, of good repute. You see, you can't be of ill repute. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Anyhow, thanks, Ross Cousy.
But
as relates to this lady commissioner, you know, she. What I'm saying is, I don't know because you know she's in the PLP administration appointed her. We know that the king at the defense force, the king's up from Cat Island, so that's brave boy. So that's how I look at these things. So I hope she's not willing to let political affiliation or whoever put it there sway her or dismay her
from doing
her duties. Because and please, Mom, don't dismiss what people saying, whether he's a dreadlocks or whatever he is. Because we have seen what it did and what it is doing. Mm. You can't dismiss anything. We've been dismissing.
And everything we've been saying.
Until we dismiss ourselves, now they have no integrity. Bless them, y'all.
Thank you very much. Yeah, man, we can't run from it. And like I said to the opposition leaders of the House of Assembly, this ain't no charade, you understand? Is you guys also responsible for causing this? By when y'all get in power, y'all putting these officers in place and they putting that team in place. Listen to this. Let me see how it go. We had BK Barnaby for 13 years. We had Paul Farquharson, must be 3 years. We had Anthony Johnson, 2 years. Paul Rowell, 2 years, right? That's all the pension we giving out. And under their watch, crime ain't decreased. So what you think been happening all that time? Every commissioner comes and he bringing his team. Some of them officers are going to be corrupt. They're going to be disrespectful. They're going to put morals on the line because everyone know you appointed and you're going to say certain things to the individual, like get on this team, like what went down with Zed Ness, you know? Get on with the team.
come, you know, because you're a political appointee. That is not, that you didn't deserve to get that appointment. Or you don't deserve to be over a good cop like my good friend Marco Gaudet or my cousin Quentin Brennan, both of them inspectors and stuff like that. And Marco should be in for it on the force a long time. But there's so many decent officers. When you walk around the community, everyone respect him. That didn't mean Marco was walking around in the area and someone stopped and say, "You remember me?" And they can say, "You remember?" And the person said, "Mom, when I was locked up, man, you take good care of me, you know." And then some other people say, "Scoogey boy, you got a good friend, but he's a good police officer, and his name is good." You ain't seen one point no finger at him and say he's a corrupt cop or abusive cop, you know. Nice mannerly cop, you know, to get along with anyone, even when there's a situation where there's excitement. He know how to calm it down. Don't pull his gun. He know how to de-escalate the situation. Good cops like that. Good cops like the cop who sent me his resume, who's highly disappointed not being recommended or promoted. For 3 times he was turned down. Why? Because he's not a political puppet. Because you can't control poison like that. You don't need to control poison like that. Because poison like that will also keep you in check. You understand? That's how serious it is in the country. And then our leaders talk, Fred Mitchell, but he don't fear the police forces. Systematic. Where the hell you living? Huh? Your door don't get kicked down. You don't get talked too bad. Huh? Where you be? Huh? Ain't systematic? Huh? Where you be in the station when some of those police who come to work with a bad time on how they do the inmates or how they do the detainee while they in the station, huh? Or how they talk to people. And we all behemoths. Where you be, Mr. Mitchell? Huh? Where you be? And then last but least, I was watching Beyond the Headline and Shanique Miller, and I think it was Leslie Miller, and this lady, I know, we talked once or twice, Miss Scott. And she was referring to the drugs and the cocaine, and then Mr. Miller was more for his party. He ain't really a nationalist, you know, he talking about the party. And then she's explaining certain things, and then she said that she talked about the MP. So Miller said, "Say who the MP is," and he said, "The U.S. government, they know better. They have Donald Trump, who is a convicted this or that." You know what, Donald Trump? Donald Trump don't run the investigation department in the U.S. Yeah, you might have some say, but these guys were working on this from 2017. They was continued. So this information was given a very long time ago when they were doing their investigation. And Ms. Scott, she did the right thing. She was sticking to the fact that the officers, them should, whether you're PLP or FNM, should be held responsible for your action. On the other hand, Mr. Miller, he was kind of agreeing with her, but his stance was like, you know, it ain't serious. Like, he ain't taking it serious, but Ms. Scott is taking it serious, and she is saying that she was a former defense force officer, you know, beyond the headline. And she was right, and I'm glad that she stick, and she was able to express herself to the pot cake, Leslie Miller, you know. And like I say, people defending their party. And even though their party is in power and the party runs the police force, they still won't deny the wrongdoing. Even though he's kind of siding with it, but he's unsiding with it. Like, he don't want this fall on the government because he still wants the government to be reelected again. And that's what most of these individuals do. They might be outspoken, they might be good people, but at the same time, they're a party. I am a nationalist. I am a behemoth. All right? If you do wrong in my eyes, I go vote against you. If you do good, I go vote for you. All right? And that's how it's supposed to be. Ain't no PLP or no FNM could persuade me. It's how I look at the leaders. It's how I look at how the government governs. And that's how I vote, because I'm an electorate. Okay? So to the opposition, let me just say this to you guys. You guys, don't think for a minute, because you did a charade in the House of Parliament, you gained some traction, and it was good that you that the party is now using their opposition powers to fight for the rights of vehemence that they see the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the government is headed in the wrong direction. That's the opposition job. But at the end of the day, Mr. Pintat, you all have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. Because you said at your own mouth that if you're elected, that there will be no more political interference and who was elected as Commissioner of Police if the FNM wins the next general election. But we just saw the other day where recommendations was made with Ms. Knowles, where Commissioner of Police, outgoing Commissioner of Police, was walking in along with Chantel Knowles, the new incoming Commissioner of Police, at the office of the Prime Minister. And like I always tell you all people, the Prime Minister is the one who appoint the superintendent, the Commissioner of Prison, the Commissioner of Police, Head of Immigration, Chief Justice, because all of them are party members. All right? So I just want the general public to know that I speak and I've been saying these things for many years when no one on radio had the nerve or had the audacity to speak the way I'm speaking. Now, I might be a little harsh, right? But I have no choice because I grow up hard and I know the foolishness that goes on in our country and I expose it so that you can see it for yourself and fight against the corruption so that we can have a better Bahamas. Because listen, if this didn't happen now, you could imagine what would have gone on to the next election and what would keep on going on in the government and on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. All of us would have been in danger because it was too out of hand. Every officer start to get beside themselves and become lovers of themselves, and they was going to continue to destroy the Bahamas. For all the callers who call in tonight, I want to say a very good night to each and every one of you. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And I hope that you enjoy the show. And just remember one thing. I will always speak for you guys because I know what the Bahamian people need. I know what they need to hear. And I know what direction we need to go in if we want a better country. I've been saying all these things, people, that has come to light over the years. I've been saying it. And I was not afraid to come on this radio and speak. And that's what Guardian Radio gave me this platform for. So I want to say to Guardian Radio, y'all did a wonderful job of helping a young man like myself come on this radio and talk about inside the inner city and what goes on in this country. You did a plus. You see, it benefit you guys here at Guardian Radio 96.9. Thank you very much and good night to each and every one of you and enjoy your night.
Then after quit the disrespect, you see this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. Then the ghetto people I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up in Tango. Way I from in Tango.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke it on, bro.
Boy, I from it on, bro.
Being on, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping.